Here we are, another train delay. Not a problem for Claire. Phone in hand, ready to play the free coral rewards grabber. Loose wrist, firm grip. Textbook. Oh, look at this. She's won herself 50 coral coins for free.
Yes.
But now, what to spend them on? Free spins or a casino bonus? And, oh, she's gone with free spins.
Ooh.
Lovely choice, Claire. Cash in coral coins for free to choose rewards you actually want. Coral, we're here for it.
18 plus UK. Participate in selected promos to get coral coins. Coins expire. T's and C's apply. Take time to think.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to an episode of Drop the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here today. This is part two. Part duh. Usually in sequels, the second one is not that good. Not in this case. It's going to be fantastic. This is going to be great. The Western Conference is loaded. Tim and I are excited. There's a lot of good matchups, and we're not going to waste your time with personal talk. We did that yesterday. Tim's mother-in-law is listening. She doesn't want to hear me talk about my life and my hummingbirds and my chickens and my electrical issues and all that. So we're going to jump right into it, Tim, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to start with, I think, what is the best first round matchup in any of the conferences? It's the Dallas Stars versus the Colorado Avalanche. There's a whole lot to be excited about. The Rantanen thing, not the only thing, obviously. I think both teams are absolutely stacked. I think one of them is going to end up going to the Western Conference Finals, although I've said that in the past and that hasn't quite happened. But let's start with the Rantanen thing. It's the biggest storyline, I think. And what version of him are we going to see? Everyone knows the story. He got moved because he called their bluff and they called his. Very disappointing in Carolina. Didn't want to be there. Didn't try any effort at all. It goes to Dallas and he's been pretty good. Not Rantanen levels, but 18 points in 20 games. A big difference. I think only maybe, I think I did the math this morning, like 6 goals, something like that. So you want more from him. But I wonder, and this is kind of maybe a question I'll throw your way, John, is in Colorado, he played most of his time playing with McKinnon, playing on an elite power play, playing on a top-heavy team. That's not the case with Dallas, where Dallas plays to their depth, and they rely less on the power play, and they're very good at 5-on-5. And they kind of roll 3 lines equally most nights, some nights 4. And so I wonder if Rantanen's relatively I wouldn't say disappointing, but not quite up to par, 18 points in 20 games as a Dallas Star, is part of the same narrative that we've seen with players like Hinton Robertson, who used to be 100-point players, 40-goal players, and now they're less than that. It's the whole concept of a little less for a lot more, where they're rolling the lines, playing equally, buying into a system rather than individual stats. That's what Matt Duchene told us. So do you think that we see that Rantanen kind of play into that as well? Or should he be a line driver, a play creator, an offense generator all on his own?
Well, it's tricky. He gets less ice time. And it's obvious. He gets less offensive zone time. Obviously, on the power play, he went from playing 2 minutes almost to now sharing time because the first and second unit are so powerful. They can throw out really 2 solo power play units here with the Dallas Stars. But on the other side of the page, he's getting better matchups. Other teams used to game plan against McKinnon and Rantanen and Makar and go, okay, we need to stop this one line and we'll have a good chance. Now he's the third option. He's playing with Jamie Benn and Wyatt Johnson. He's playing against other teams' third lines. So that's a net positive for him in my eyes. And it just all goes down to your mentality. Can you yourself, as a superstar, swallow your pride and go, okay, we're going for the greater good here? Like Matt Duchene said in our interview last year, we're in it for something bigger than goals and assists. We're in it for a Stanley Cup. We don't know. We don't know if he has that in him, because in Colorado, he was the guy. Even with Nathan McKinnon doing what he was doing, it was Rantanen was driving a lot of that. So it's yet to be seen. It didn't work out in Carolina and hasn't worked out in Dallas very well. But maybe he's a playoff guy and he's going to, you know, rise to the occasion. So I hope so, because this team is hell of a deep team.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Stars for a minute. You have Jason Robertson, who is one of their most important players, if not the most important player on their offense. He was injured last night. He left the rink in a knee brace in Nashville. Not good. And so someone pointed this out. The Stars lost their final 7 games of the season, even though they didn't rest any of their forwards during those seven games. So this wasn't a matter of like jumbling the lineup or thinning it out to sacrificing they rostered their players, and they included the full lineup in game 82 of the season, where you'd already had your position in the first round matchup. And you compare that to a team like the Colorado Avalanche, like the Florida Panthers, the Hurricanes, the Oilers, all resting their stars. And now you have one of their star players is injured. So and there's no timeline yet, at least not that I've seen. I don't expect they'll miss that. But you have at least at a minimum a nagging injury to a key player. Is this just mismanagement of roster? Like what? Why does that bother you at all?
Yeah, it's I think it's a mistake. But when you have like we just said, when you have that many stars, who do you sit? Like Jason Robertson isn't exactly old. So if you think you were going to bench some guys, it would be Ben and Sagan and Duchesne and give them some rest. So the odds of Robertson playing are high, but it's the game. It is what it is. Yeah. You could have maybe sat him out and held him out, but it's a fluke accident that the kind of crummy thing is they start the playoffs on Saturday. So right. There's no time to rest. If he's out, that's a big hit for this team. He's obviously a huge player. So that'll impact this series if he's not able to go.
Both Robertson and Miro Heiskanen, by the way, is ruled out for game one. And if you're ruled out for game one, like a week ahead of time, means you're probably ruled out for two and three, too. It means it's not really close. He may return later in the series. Hopefully he does. But those would be two huge losses. Meanwhile, on the other side, the Colorado Avalanche are healthy. They're rolling. They had arguably the best trade deadline. And they picked up valuable players, top and bottom of the lineup. Brock Nelson, Charlie Coyle, Martin Nietzsche, Ryan Lindgren, Jimmy Vesey. Mackenzie Blackwood, the goalie they picked up back in December, has been outstanding all season long. On top of that, you just added Valerie Nichushkin. He's healthy. He's playing well. There's a stat I saw, I wish I had in front of me, of their record when he's in the lineup. It's crazy how important he is to that team. Can he stay in the lineup? And that's not an injury thing. That's can he stay out of trouble? We've seen
this. Can he keep his nose clean?
Yeah. Yeah. And his hotel door locked. Landeskog on the other side. He played a game in the AHL last week. He looked great. He had a goal. He's back with a big club now and practicing. The report is that he's going to remain out of the lineup until game three. That gives him a few more days to rest and get ready for up to game speed. It also sets him up to return after not playing in 2 years in front of a stacked, packed home crowd, which would just be an incredible boost of adrenaline for the team. So there's a ton of momentum and more to come from the Avalanche. And I don't want to just set this up to overlook how good the stars are. And even without, if Robertson and Heiskanen aren't in the lineup, they're still stacked. They have the better goalie in Ottinger. You have Wyatt Johnson, who's just so, so good. You have a veteran-laden team that's very, very good. You have Thomas Harley, who we've seen be very good in big games. They can play a number one role with Heiskanen out. So I think this is going to be a great matchup. But I think at the end of the day, to put a bow on this, the Colorado Avalanche are just going to be too much to handle. Everything is going their way right now. I think they have a great story. They have a lot of momentum. So I like them. I'm going to give it seven games, but it's going to be the Avalanche.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, this is so tough because either of these teams, if they're playing anybody else in the Western Conference, I feel like they're the favorite. The fact that they lined up in the first round is kind of the one downfall of this interdivision first round playoff matchup seeding system. Yeah. But it's fun. It's fun for us. We've seen it in the East with the Florida Panthers, Toronto, and Lightning, and those sorts of teams. But I think the key to this is Miro Heiskanen. If he's in the lineup, I like Dallas. The fact that he's out and that you have to just manage to deal with this four-headed lineup that the Colorado Avalanche has with the anticipation of Landeskog coming back, like you Laikkanen, McKinnon, and Nyches, and Nichushkin, and Nelson, and Drouin, and Coyle, and Colton, and Kvanta. It's just on and on and on they go to. So it's just overwhelming. And even though Dallas is deep, and they made moves, and they got Rantanen, and they brought in all these guys, and they shored up their back end, and Ottinger is terrific, I just don't know how you can beat the Colorado Avalanche without your best defenseman. And that's why I'm picking the Avalanche, but it's going to be in seven. I think this is going to be a heck of a series. I think Landeskog comes back. He makes an impact and the Avalanche win it in seven. Gosh, we're going to lose Dallas in the first round. It's incredible. After all the moves that they made and how good a season they had, but someone's got to win. All right, moving on. We got Vegas and Minnesota. Much like the Tale of Two Cities that I did last time with the Devils and the Carolina Hurricanes, it's the tale of two teams. This is one team that has been wheeling and dealing, spending money, making trades, making things happen. Obviously, it's the Vegas Golden Knights. Jack Eichel and Thomas Hurdle and Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Leonard and all the moves that they made over the last 3, 4, 5 years. It's been fun to watch. And then on the other side of the coin is you have the Minnesota Wild. And then cap hell. Cap hell. With Parisian Suter and the money that they've had to carry year after year after year, just to throw a roster on the ice has been hard for Billy Guerin, especially with the injuries that they dealt with. Well, that's going to be gone this year. Craig Leopold at the start of the season, outlook for this team, he said, we just want to make playoffs. That's a big win for us. If we can get there, we know where we're at. We're $15 million in the hole. If Billy can get us to the playoffs, that's a good season. Well, they're there. Even though Joel Eriksson Ek and Kirill Kaprizov were injured for large swaths of the season, Kirill played half the games this season, 41, and they still managed to win. They've been struggling down the stretch, just limping into the playoffs, but they're there. These teams met in 2021 in the playoffs, Kaprizov's rookie year, the Knights 1-7. Things have changed since then. Golden Knights have won a Stanley Cup. Minnesota Wild have largely rebuilt their roster, brought in a lot of good young talent. Matt Boldy's and Marco Rossi's, bring in Matt Zuccarello. You got Brock Faber on the back end. It's a very up-and-coming roster. Much like Toronto, Vegas, Tim, has had a very ho-hum year. When you look at them, they haven't really made any waves. At the deadline, didn't do too much, surprisingly. They usually go out and make a huge splash. I can't think of a move that they made. Brandon Saad? Other than that, not much. Correct me if I'm wrong. But what this team does, and maybe why they didn't make any moves, they score a lot of goals. They can move that puck, and they can put the puck in the net. They're second in the goals, second in the league in goals per 60 with 10.99. They get the second best power play in the league, fourth most shots on net. They got a veteran team. Most of the guys have won a Stanley Cup. When you can throw out two lines of Eichel and Stone and Hurdle and Carlson and Barbashev to all of the first two lines, and you have just the studs in the back end who feel like they've been there forever, and Pietrangelo and Theodore, and you add Noah Hanifin, then you have your Stanley Cup champ goaltender, Nathan Hill. It's a team. This team doesn't have any weaknesses to them. They're just there. You know what I mean? And they're good. And there was no issues this year. And I feel like they're primed for a Stanley Cup run. Don't you think?
I do. We talked about them maybe, I don't know, a month or two ago when I pointed out the Vegas Golden Knights and you were like, yeah, they're really good. Why haven't we talked about them? You know what I mean? Like, they're so under the radar. And like Toronto, I think that's a good thing for them. They made such huge splashes last year. They had all this pressure. They obviously didn't deliver. I think this is a team that expects to win. And they're going to win. You know, they could win two rounds playing 10 games total.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, my God, how did we forget how good this team was? Well, how did we overlook them? So, yeah, and I like Minnesota a lot. There's a lot to like about this roster. And even Brock Faber and Booyam joined the team, too. Like, their future is bright, but it starts this summer. It doesn't start in this postseason. Unfortunately, it's not a bad thing considering where you come from. So, yeah, I do like Vegas in this one as well.
Yeah, and you can't fault them for where they're at, the Minnesota Wild, even though Vegas will win. You know, I'm taking Vegas. It's a no-brainer for everybody involved. Even Vegas has them heavily favored. But I think this is good for them. And we talk about the Red Wings and the Buffalo Sabres and teams that need to get their players some playoff experience. Give them a taste to know what they're missing out on. This is great for the Wild. This is great for those young players to go in and see what it takes to win. See what a championship team looks like. Because when you look at this roster, they have the ingredients for success. You got the star defenseman in Brock Faber. You have the star forward in Kirill Kaprizov. You have those ingredients, the secondary scoring in Matt Boldy. But you need to know what you need to do to win. And I think this will be good for them in this playoff series. They're going to get waxed. They're going to lose four straight. It's not going to be close. I think so. I don't think that, well, everybody can see they don't have the horses. They don't have the depth. They don't have even the goaltending. I know their goaltending has been okay, but it's not there yet. They're going to get something crazy like $30 million or $40 million to spend this offseason, and then they'll be competitive next year. But it's good for them to be here. This is a great story. You mentioned Zeb Bion coming in from Denver, their first round pick last year. I will be interested to see if he gets some playing time. Hasn't played yet, but he's on the roster. Imagine if you can throw him out there with Brock Faber. Yeah, that'd be very, very fun. This guy's a very energetic, lively, creative player on the back end. I think he had over a point per game in college for 2 years at the University of Denver. So he would be fantastic back there. Get him on the ice. Let him feel the pace of the NHL playoff experience. I think it's great. I think this is what Minnesota needs. They got to the playoffs. It's a good story, but this is Vegas's time. My prediction is Vegas in four. I think this is not even a close series. I think they win each game by 3 goals, and they will overwhelm the Minnesota Wild. The one good that could come from this, we could see Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs. If Vegas goes out and wins the first two substantially, you might see the Flower play game three or four, which would be great. Playing against his former team, he's obviously going to retire. That'd be fun for him to get some ice time in the playoffs.
That would be fun. And I think this is going to be a 5-game series. I do like Vegas. I could see Minnesota getting one. And maybe there's one game where Kaprizov, you know, has 4 points or something, and that's what it is. But yeah, I don't think it'll be super close. So I'll take Vegas in five.
Yeah, they're just overwhelmed. Yeah.
Here we are, another train delay, not a problem for Claire. Phone in hand, ready to play the free Coral Rewards grabber. Loose wrist, firm grip. Textbook. Oh, look at this. She's won herself 50 Coral coins for free. Yes. But now, what to spend them on? Free spins or a casino bonus? And, oh, she's gone with free spins. Ooh. Lovely choice, Claire. Cash in Coral coins for free to choose rewards you actually want. Coral, we're here for it.
18 plus UK. Participate in selected promos to get Coral coins. Coins expire. T's and C's apply. Take time to think.
All right, moving on. We're going to go to the Winnipeg Jets, the President's Trophy champion. The odds-on favorite for the Stanley Cup because they win the President's Trophy. And they're playing the St. Louis Blues, the winner of 12 in a row, the hottest team in the NHL until the last 2 weeks when they kind of stumbled and almost missed the playoffs with the Calgary Flames right on their heels, but they managed to eke it in with the last 82nd game win to get into the playoffs. Well, is this even going to be a series, Tim? Is this even close?
It's going to be a series. The Blues have been a lot of fun. They've been a great story the last couple of months. You mentioned the 12-game winning streak. You mentioned this, like the players that are getting hot at the right time. There's something to be said for that. But in the Winnipeg Jets, they had one of those like dreamy, idyllic, nothing went wrong the whole season type
like
of season.
Like the Bruins of 2 years ago.
Yeah, and the Panthers of 3 years ago. You know, it's like everything just went our way. We were healthy. Everyone played up to their potential. Certain guys played above their potential. Like, it was just magical. And what do those teams like the Bruins and the Panthers do in the playoffs?
They win the Stanley Cup.
No. The Bruins lost in the first round. The Panthers lost in the second year. They had like the president. Like, it's very hard to play at a high level the entire season. And when you're at the top of the standings, you're the name that's circled on the calendar. You're getting every team's best. It's very difficult to do to overcome that and beat them and then carry that into the playoffs when you've already played at such a high level all season long. And I wouldn't think this was the case if we hadn't seen it with so many teams in the past. So I wonder, or at least like I'm worried that we could see a similar, whether you want to call it a collapse or just disappointment of the Winnipeg Jets for those reasons. And then this, I would say that's one of the main reasons this is the popular upset pick is the Blues over the Jets, which is basically an 8-1 seed if we were doing it that way. But you look at the Winnipeg roster, it's absolutely stacked. Kyle Connor, I didn't realize, 97 points. 41 goals, I think he's got, like, so underrated. Mark Scheifele is a legit number one center on a cup-winning team. Morrissey is playing at a Calder level. I think Hellebuck is the best goalie in the world. They have a couple of key injuries that could end up hurting. Ehlers is week to week. He's going to miss at least the start of the playoffs, so vague timetable, not a ton of details there. Gabe Vilardi is day-to-day. He's been out for a little while, but he could be back. And he may be ready to play as soon as game one, but probably, you know, later in the series. So those are two important parts of their top six that's going to hurt them, make this a little bit closer on paper. Meanwhile, the St. Louis Blues have a lot to be excited about. You have Holloway and Broberg playing outstanding at the right time. Robert Thomas has been one of the best centers in the league in the second half of the season. He left with an injury the other day, but he's expected to be okay. I think it's just going to be a minor thing. He'll be back in the lineup. Cam Fowler's a name that they added. He's playing really well. The Holloway Thomas Kyrou line was just outstanding since the Four Nations tournament. So I think to me, this thing's going to come down, even though it's basically a 1-8. I think it's closer than it should be. It's going to come down to one thing, which is goaltending. It's hard not to think about what Hellebuck did last year in the playoffs. It's hard not to think that he's, because it came out of nowhere last year. You know what I mean? Like, he played so well, and all of a sudden he just tanked. He just laid a big, bad, stinky one. And I wonder if he's going to do that again. Which version of him are we going to get? Because he's capable of winning the series. He's also capable of losing you the series. And will he adjust and learn from last year, or will he just prove that he's not a playoff performer? Because Binnington, on the other hand, is not as good, obviously, as Hellebuck. But he's a gamer. He's a big game goalie. He wants the pressure. He wants the spotlight. Binnington wants Scheifele or Connor to have a breakaway in overtime just so he can stop it. Like, that's the crazy wild man mentality that he has. And we saw that in 2019. And we saw that a couple months ago at the Four Nation tournament, just to remind us that he still has that ice in his veins. So I think it's going to be which of those two guys is better, and that's going to dictate the series.
Yeah, in the last 2 years, Connor Hellebuck, 10 games played, and he's 2-8, save percentage 0.87, goals against of above 4.
Yeah.
Last year's goals against was 5.23. So he was just getting lit up left, right, and center, and it was the same for 22-23. So this is a case of who shows up. You need him to be good. You need him to be extraordinary. Because the Blues they're not going to roll over. I think you nailed it, Tim. This is a very, very good team. And if they were playing the way they were playing for the last 2 months, like, we're having a different conversation. They're in the mix for the Central Division Championship. So this isn't a typical eighth seed. This is a very, very solid team who has good young players throughout the lineup, but also really good grizzled vets. Colton Parenko, when they won the Cup, was arguably the best player on the ice. Ryan Suter has been there, done that. Nick Leddy feels like he's 100 years old, but he still skates the same way. Like, Justin Falk is still a very, very solid player. And then you look up front, Robert Thomas and Nate, like, they have a good lineup. But at the end of the day, you can't bet against the President's Trophy champions. And to me, it starts and ends with Josh Morrissey, friend of the show. He could be the most underrated defenseman in the NHL. The guy, he makes $6 million. He's a perennial Norris contender now for the last 3 years. And he just does his job, and he does it well. So he will be the difference maker, even though St. Louis will have momentum and Jordan Binnington is a complete psycho and wants things to, you know, happen to him, and he's going to create chaos when he's out there. I think Hellebuck plays okay. And I think the Winnipeg Jets win in 6 or 7. That's my prediction.
You know, while you were talking, I'm thinking, I've been making pretty safe picks. I haven't really picked any underdogs in this, except for, like, technically Florida is an underdog versus Tampa, but that's an even series. Same with Colorado. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're those underdogs. I'm going to go with the underdog here. This is the one time I'm really going to put my neck out there. The Blues, I just think they're hot at the right time. I think they're more well-structured for the playoffs, and it's just a gut thing. So I know Winnipeg is by far should be the better team, but like you said, the Blues aren't a typical wild card team. They just had, you know, some struggles early on. So, yeah, I like the Blues. I think they're better than a lot of teams in the East, for example, by comparison. So this would
be... Don't do it.
I'm picking St. Louis. And let's see. I'll say 6 games.
You don't even give Winnipeg 3 wins. You're just doing this just to be different, contrary. There's no way they win this series. There really isn't. St. Louis was a fun story, but why? Winnipeg's better, Tim. Winnipeg's definitely better. But I'll give it to you. I will let you lose this series, because when we do the recap at the end of the first round, I will probably have gone 8-0, and you'll be like 1-7. So it's not good. All right, moving on. The last series in the Western Conference.
What was your pick on games? How many games?
5.
So you don't think it's going to be close? All right.
No. Winnipeg's just too good.
That's what we did last year.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes up. All right, the last series. Stop me if you've heard this before. LA versus Edmonton. 4 consecutive seasons. 4 years ago, LA went on an amazing run, and they took them to 7 games, and they almost beat them. 2 years ago, Edmonton beat them in 6. Last year, Edmonton beat them in 5. So you would think Edmonton sweeps them in 4 the way things are going. Well, not so fast. This is not last year. This is not the same Edmonton Oilers that made it to the Stanley Cup Finals and went to Game 7. This is a different team, Tim. They're back to the old 2022 version, 2021 version, where They go into the game and they look at McDavid and Draisaitl and go, oh man, okay, I'm jumping on your back because the rest of the team sucks and we suck bad. We got nothing else but you two. And if you guys don't score 4 or 5 goals, we're going to lose and we're going to lose bad. Gone are Warren Fogle. He's on the LA Kings. And these are names that maybe don't seem important, but last year on their Stanley Cup run, they were very important. They were good players that did a lot of dirty work and goal scoring and secondary things for the Edmonton Oilers that are gone now. So gone are Fogle and McLeod and Ryan and the aforementioned Dylan Holloway and Philip Roberg and Cody Ceci. They're gone. Oh, who were they replaced by? Young, up-and-coming players that were hungry and fast and had a lot of potential? No. We went out and got old, stinky vets that just suck. We got Jeff Skinner. Oh, but he's veteran. He's played in the playoffs. Guy's never played a playoff game. Terrible year. We got Adam Henrique. We got Victor Arvidsson. We got Kapanen. Just vets who go there to milk a couple years out of their career, and hopefully you can catch lightning in a bottle playing with Connor McDavid and get some points and get a bigger contract. That's why you go to Edmonton if you're a vet with that potential. Skate alongside those guys. It didn't work out this year. This team stinks. Other than those top two players and Evan Bouchard, there's nothing to look forward to. Stuart Skinner, last year, revelation in the playoffs. Played fantastic. Won Edmonton some games. He was terrific. Well, it struck midnight. Cinderella has lost her slipper, and Stuart Skinner stinks again. He is back to that good old goaltender that's unreliable, throws up a gem one game, and then throws up a stinker the next game. How can you rely on a guy like that going into the playoffs? You can't. This team is that team again. They got bad defense. Darnell Nurse stinks. Matthias Ekholm is hurt. Evan Bouchard has never been known for his defensive acuity. They're bad. Their offense is terrible, other than the top two guys. And they used to have some supplementary guys, Hyman and the Nuge and Kane and some guys who were good. All those guys are having down seasons. So they don't even have that this year. And it's a recipe for an LA domination. It really is. When you look at LA, well, who is this team? They're kind of a surprise. Second place in the Pacific, snuck past the Edmonton Oilers. This is an Anze Kopitar team. It really is top to bottom. It's a team that's good offensively, but doesn't go out there and ruin its game just to try to get points on the board. It wins the game, and it wins it in a good, responsible way. They pride themselves on accountability, responsibility, but they have some skill to it. Like, this is a very skillful team. When you look at, they got Kempe, you got Kopitar, you got Deneau, you got Doughty on the back end. You have some players who can do some special things, but you would never guess just because they play the game so well. And they've been lacking goaltending in years past. You got a great goaltender, Darcy Kemp. He's playing fantastic. And they're just terrific at home. They got home ice advantage. You know their record at home, Tim?
Don't. What is it?
I don't know. I just asked. No, it's 31-5-4.
Okay.
They've lost 5 games at home in regular time. That's outrageous. That's outrageous. And in the regular season, you know what they held McDavid and Draisaitl to in the regular season? 2 points all season long. Arguably, well, Draisaitl didn't play 2 and McDavid didn't play 1, but still, they got a handle on these guys. So I'm telling you, people think this is going to be a great matchup. People think that the Oilers are going to make some noise, and how can you bet against McDavid? And they went to game 7 last year. I don't know. I'm going Kings in 5. I think this is going to be a short series. I think my X factor, Fogle, Deneau, and Moore, I think they shut down that top line. And by shut down, I mean they limit them to 2 goals a game. And if you can do that, and stay out of the box, and LA will. They're a very disciplined team. They'll stay out of the box. They won't give them that opportunity to just dominate on the power play like other teams do. I think LA wins this series going away. I don't see any way Edmonton wins unless LA shoots themselves in the foot. So I'm going Kings in five. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a bold pick for all the reasons that you mentioned, but it's still going to be considered one, and you're an Oilers hater and all that, which is just lame. I think the part that maybe you glossed over that I think is the biggest reason that I'm worried about the Edmonton Oilers is not the lack of depth on the bottom six. It's that the stars that aren't producing, and by stars, I mean Nugent Hopkins and Zach Hyman. The drop off from last year to this year is just substantial. And we know that Hyman is obviously, even though he did it, he's not a 50 goal scorer. Even though the Nuge did it, he's not a 90 point guy. Sometimes things just go right for a whole season. And so the return to like that level was not to be expected, but also the drop off was considerable. And I don't think that they're, if you can expect anything different from them in the postseason. So I think that's going to be a huge, huge reason why the Kings, I'm going to pick the Kings as well. I think it's probably, I think maybe six. And it's weird to think, it's just, for all the reasons you mentioned, I agree with everything you said, but there's just the rational side of me going, I don't think that basically the relatively the same teams can do it 4 years in a row. I think it's very, very difficult to do. So I'm going to go with LA. And I also, you didn't even mention him. I didn't hear his name, Quentin Byfield.
Yeah.
How good is he going to be? And he's just so good. And I think his strength is going to be something that's meant for the playoffs. So I like LA too.
Yeah, it's just when you look at the stats of the Oilers, it's remarkable the drop-off after those two guys. The next highest forward has half the points than McDavid. And that's Nugent Hopkins with 49. Like, it's amazing. And McDavid missed 15 games. So it's just insane the bad seasons that those guys have. Hyman and like a Corey Perry is their arguably third best forward, and he's 46 years old. It's crazy to think about, and the fact that they lose their best defenseman for the series and Matthias Ekholm, it's a big pill to swallow. So this maybe will go longer than five or six, but it's going to be LA Kings. They're going to slay the dragon. They're going to move on. It's going to be good for them. Because they're, like you mentioned, they have good young players in Quentin Byfield. They will be a team to reckon with in years future. And they didn't do anything at the deadline. They held pat. But I'm taking LA. I think you have to. You'd be stupid not to. All right, anything else, Tim?
No, this is a lot of fun. I'm excited to watch these games. I'm going to be in Savannah this weekend. So I'll try to catch some games at night, and we'll find a restaurant or a bar that's got the games on. And enjoy. If your team's in the playoffs, I'm rooting for you. And I would love to know if your team's not in the playoffs, which series you're watching, who's your team, who you're rooting for. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Let us know in the comments. If not, we'll talk to you guys on Monday. So have a good weekend and watch some hockey. Cheers, everybody. Have fun in Savannah, Tim.
Thank you. I will.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Here we are, another train delay, not a problem for Claire. Phone in hand, ready to play the free Coral Rewards Grabber. Loose wrist, firm grip. Textbook. Oh, look at this. She's won herself 50 Coral Coins for free. Yes. But now, what to spend them on? Free spins or a casino bonus? And, oh, she's gone with free spins. Ooh. Lovely choice, Claire. Cash in Coral Coins for free to choose rewards you actually want. Coral, we're here for it.
18 plus UK. Participate in selected promos to get Coral coins. Coins expire. T's and C's apply. Take time to think.